Galatians, it's chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And today I'd like to just talk with you about defeating the flesh, because it's a major problem we all have to deal with. And it's a matter that Satan can use to trip our lives up with. We're in a multidimensional sin war. This is where we have to battle on different fronts. And many Christians aren't aware of this, but the Scripture is very clear. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul wrote under the direction of the Spirit of God, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world." That's our first battlefield area, the world. "According to the prince of the power of the air." Who would that be? Satan. He's the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And so here we have these three battlefields that we have to deal with. We have the social battlefield, and that's from without us. That's the world that we have to deal with. We have the internal setting of a personal battle that takes place on the inside of us. That's called the flesh. And then we have the battlefield that takes place around us. And that's Satan and his demonic forces and evil supernaturalism that we have to deal with. And these are the three battlefields. And everybody who's on planet Earth has to deal with them. Now, we've looked at the world. We're looking now at the flesh. And last week we looked and saw that the flesh, the word flesh is a word, the Greek sarx, can mean your skin that covers your body or the skin of animals. But it's used in this particular context for that selfish urge that's inside of us to do what we want to do and not do what God wants us to. Have you ever felt that? A push on the inside where somebody makes you mad and God wants you to speak to them in grace and you want to lay them low. You ever had that? You know? I mean, there's all kinds of pulls of the flesh. Neil Anderson said it's the tendency within each person to operate independently of God and center his interest on himself. And that's what the flesh is. It's activated within us. And it's activated, according to the Galatians 5 passage, in several different areas. It's activated in the area of our sexuality. It's activated in the area of our spirituality, our relationship with God. It's activated in the relationship with other individuals. And it's activated in the physical realm. Now, we talked about these last week, so I won't go through them all again. I'll just mention to you that the ones that are around for the sexual sins, that's sexual activity outside of marriage, Satan wants us to be involved in that because he wants to destroy marriages. Well, I'm not married, you say. I haven't been married. Well, that's okay. He wants to get you messed up before you get married so that you'll have to deal with problems and situations after you're married. And if you're in a marriage, well, he wants to tear you up. And so that's his plan. God says don't be involved in those activities because they'll bring hurt to you. In the religious sins, that's where people go after all sorts of different ways to find out what to do and how to, rather than going to the Scriptures. Here God's given us everything we need to live a life of godliness and blessing, but people run to other sources. And when they do that, Satan uses that to get them where they can't communicate with God. They go to these other places and it just messes up their relationship with the Father. The relational sins, well, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." Remember that? Well, what Satan wants to do is to bust that love up to where we bicker and fight and have all kinds of difficulties with one another. Does this ever happen in families? Yeah, it happens in families, and it tears the families apart. Does it happen in churches? You know, sad to say, church after church after church after church after church has had problems and split. And the reason has been not because of doctrinal issues in most of the cases. It's been because people have acted in the flesh. And then the final one is the physical sins. And that's because Satan hates you and he wants to destroy your body. So if he can get you hooked on alcohol, if he can get you hooked on drugs, if he can get you involved in sins where you just blow up at people all the time, well, he'll destroy you. And so all these are battlefields that the flesh that we have to deal with. They're the areas of the flesh. And God says very clearly in Galatians chapter 5, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You just won't have that as an availability within your life. You see, oftentimes these areas of the flesh, They feel necessary. I can't help myself, people say, who blow up at others at the mention of whatever. I just stop it. Well, that's a lie. You can. God gives grace. You can. But other people, oh, it's just so great. I can't deny myself this. This is just too good. Well, yeah, you can. Because quite frankly, if you're involved in those activities, they lead to bondage. They lead to slavery where you can't break free. And there, Satan will use those to really destroy you. How many people you know that just, at least I've known quite a few, who've just started drinking and then all of a sudden it went to where it became a bondage, where they couldn't get free. And it destroyed their life. And affected their life for all their life. I mean, they have times where they do better and then they back into it. And times they better and then they're back into it again. It's just a bondage that they can't get free from. God says don't get started in it because He doesn't want us involved in slavery. He came that we might have freedom within our life. So how do we overcome the flesh? How do we overcome? Well, I'd like to suggest to you that you can overcome the flesh. The Scripture says, and you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So, if you're a Christian and the Spirit of God dwells in you, you don't have to walk in the flesh and do those things. Because God's Spirit's inside of you. You're not of that same way that you were before, of that same nature. And I'd like to give you three different things I found helpful in order to overcome the flesh. You can walk in these. Now, if you are having trouble, great. Take these down because it'll help you in helping other people. Because I guarantee you have friends who are believers who Satan is coming at to get them to be overcome by the flesh rather than overcoming in of the flesh. The first thing that you have to do is you have to walk a walk of death. You got to be the living dead. You got to die to those things. Galatians says this, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You've crucified. That's not an unusual thing, because Galatians talks about this, and that we're supposed to do it, and Romans talks about this. Listen to what Romans says. I want to read you this passage. Watch on the screen with me as we do this. Likewise, you also, here's the big word, reckon. You know the word reckon? It's where you count it as so. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. You ever obeyed the lust of your flesh? You pull, you get that, and you just do it. Scripture says you don't have to do that. Don't let it reign in your life. Don't obey it. He says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. See, one of the mistakes that people have in these sinful sins of the flesh is people say, well, just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. So the person goes, I'm not going to do it. And guess what they do? They know it. Why? Because you can't put a law up that says that. It's an internal deal. The law doesn't work. So how do we deal with it? Well, you walk a walk of death. Galatians again writes and says, I have been crucified with Christ. You know when that happened? You know when I was crucified? I was crucified when Jesus hung on the cross. My old life was crucified there. I've been crucified with Christ. It's past tense. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself. So we can walk this way, a walk of death. There's this great verse that comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I like this picture of a butterfly with that. Isn't that a neat-looking butterfly? Let me ask you something. What did that butterfly used to be? A caterpillar. Right? And then it goes through this metamorphosis, this change, and all of a sudden, it becomes a butterfly. All things have become new. Let me ask you something. Did the world change? The plants still exist. The rocks still exist. Is the sky still blue? Is it still turned from day to night? That world exists, right? What's new? The creature's new. It's brand new. It's been made different. Now, have you ever seen a butterfly? Can it walk? You ever seen a butterfly walk along? I mean, it's got legs. It can walk along. When it was a worm, what did it do? A caterpillar. It crawled. It had these little legs and it's crawling. Now, it can still do that if it wants to. But why? It's a butterfly. Things are different. Life is different. It doesn't have to be the old stuff that it used to. There's a walk of death to the flesh that we can walk in. I had this experience take place in the physical realm. Let me tell you about my physical realm, because I think it relates to the physical realm. In June of 2012, I went to the doctor, and the doctor checked me for food allergies. And the test results came back. And I went, because I found out that I was allergic to whey. That's a protein in milk and all milk products. I found out that I was allergic to barley. And that's a grain that's in a lot of different things. I found out that I was allergic to yeast. You know how many breads have yeast in them? You know how many cakes have yeast in them? You know how many rolls have yeast in them? Like everything. And I found I was allergic to eggs. So there were other things too, but those are the major ones that I was allergic to. So I went, okay, I'm allergic to those. What do I do? Well, let me tell you my problem. Every morning I would get up, and I tend to be a creature of habit, and so I got up and I had a bowl of grape nuts. You know what grape nuts is? Grape nuts is barley and whey. And I had them in a bowl of milk. Guess what milk has in it? Whey. And whey, I was off the scale. I mean, I was the highest allergy element that I had was whey. The second one was yeast. And the third one was barley. So here I am with this. And then for lunch every day, I would have a sandwich. That's not unusual. I didn't eat a lot of bread. I wanted a big bread eater, but I did eat a sandwich. So I had a sandwich, meat or whatever in between on, and I had that. Bread has what in it? Yeast. When I found out about that, I said, okay, I paid this money for these tests. I'm going to go ahead and follow up on what I paid my money for. And so when I gave them up, you know what I found? I found that some GI, gastro and gastronomical problems cleared up. I mean, they just cleared up completely. Along with that, I lost 25 pounds in 2 months, and I wasn't doing anything different except not eating grape nuts in the morning, not drinking milk, and not eating the bread of a sandwich that had yeast in it. I went to a bread, actually just a wrap, you know, like you have that has, I mean, still has all the stuff in it, but doesn't have any yeast in it. Got rid of the yeast, got rid of the whey, got rid of the barley, and I dropped 25 pounds immediately. And I thought, wow, isn't that something? Because you see, that stuff was not good for my body. It caused damage to my body. In fact, my mom tells me when I was 8 years old, I started gaining weight. And though my sisters would eat more than I did, I was still the one gaining weight. And I think at that point in juncture, I was allergic to this stuff and just didn't know about it. And the inflammation that caused me to gain weight. Year after year after year after year after year, it just caused me more and more and more and more trouble. Plus, it caused me the GI trouble. So, I had people, oh, poor, poor guy. Poor, poor guy. You're not going to have any more fun. Look what you can't eat. And I heard that and I went, really? No fun? Are you kidding me? I mean, look what I can eat. I can eat all kinds of fruit. I can eat all kinds of meat. I can eat all kinds of vegetables. I can eat all kinds of nuts. I can eat all kinds of beans. I can eat a bunch of stuff. I just got to stay away from the stuff that doesn't. I have a wonderful, wonderful variety of food that I can take in. It's just that I have chosen to be away from the things that destroy my life, that hurt me. Does that make sense? And I've died to them. And I got to tell you what, I feel better all the time because I've died to those things. So you can die to things. You don't have to live to them. You can die to them. And usually people have a sin pattern in the flesh that they develop. And they've just done that thing over and over and over and over again. You can die to that. You can choose to die to that. You died on the cross with Jesus. You can die to that. I died. And I died to this stuff. And so it's just not a problem. Other people could. I don't. Legalism? Not life. Does it make a sense? I'm not following a legalistic thing. I'm following life. Because quite frankly, I found that if you sneak this into me and I don't know I'm having it, I'll know I had it. Because it causes trouble for my body. So understand, you understand how this plays over to this one, to the fact that we're new creatures? I'm a new creature. I don't eat that stuff, and therefore I have had a brand new type. Really, it's a brand new existence. And y'all have watched me change in front of your eyes, right? And a good portion of that has been because I have gotten off of these foods that cause difficulty for my body. Now, here's the next thing you got to do. You don't make sure you don't make provision for the flesh. You got to get rid of the things that cause the trouble. Galatians chapter 5, again, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Not only do not use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. See, we're free in Jesus. We have become people who aren't under the law. And some people say, well, I'm not under the law, so therefore I can go sin all I want to. No. If you do that kind of thing, Satan's going to eat your lunch. The reason we don't sin is because Satan hates you. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy everything around you. That's why we're not involved in sin, because God saved us from sin. You don't have to be involved. So we don't make provision for the flesh. Romans says this, Romans 3, 13 and 14. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. You see how there's there, different areas? You have sexual, you have the physical, you have the relational. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So, I've chosen not to eat certain things. That's a choice. And guess what I don't do? I don't go into a restaurant and say, give me a milkshake. Why? I'm not making any provision for this that's going to hurt me. In fact, I go in and I'm pretty careful. I'm going to all these places, but I have to look at what's on there and I have to make choices because I don't want to make provisions for my trouble. I had a professor at school who said, if your nose gets broken in several places, don't go into those places anymore. And it's really good advice. Don't make provision for the flesh. And here's the last thing that you do. He also said, flee youthful lust. So just stay away from the stuff. Don't be involved in those things. But instead, I love the scriptures because it always gives you what you do. Flee those things, but instead pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. So you leave these things that you would do individually or do that are sinful, and you go be involved with people of righteousness, and you get involved with getting out of yourself into their lives and sharing with them. That's how we make no provision for the flesh. So first we walk the walk of death. You understand it? I've died to those things. That's something you reckon in your head. That's something you make the choice of. The second one is you make no provision for the flesh. And here's the third one. You walk in the Spirit of God. The Scripture is clear, Galatians 5, 16 to 18. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you not fulfill the flesh? The lust of the flesh? You do what? What does it say? Walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. You ever been in that situation? I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it. Well, the way to keep from that is you walk in the Spirit. You have this relationship with God where you're living with Him all day. You talk with Him all day. You share with Him all day. Not just when you get up in the morning, good morning, Lord. Not just in a quiet time, okay, I mean the Scriptures, it's nice. But it's all day. You just spend the day with Him. You walk in the Spirit with Him because there's this major war, and if the Spirit's in control of your life, the flesh won't have the power over you. The Scripture says, to walk in the Spirit, you'll not feel the lust of the flesh. And in verse 18 it says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, you can be led by the Spirit. It's not like somebody saying, don't do this, don't do this. You're just led by the Spirit, and you don't do it. You know, it's really interesting to me about my food allergies. It's a problem for me because I walk differently. Now, the Scripture says, walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, somebody translated it, keep in step with the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit again. We walk in the Spirit of God. We walk with Him. We're sharing with Him. We allow Him to control our thoughts, We allow Him to control everything. We just give Him ourselves and say, Lord, I want you to do it. So somebody comes at you and what do you do? The first thing we can do is at them. That's my old wanting to react. Do you ever have that reaction? Or am I the only one in this room that does that? What we ought to be doing if we're walking in the Spirit is say, Lord, I need some help here because I just got blasted. Would you help me know the response? And once you pop that up to the Lord, you just give that to the Lord. Lord, Spirit, He's great. He'll start working in your mind. He'll be saying, you know, there's a reason they're doing that. You need to back off them because they're in a lot of pain right now. And you just back off and you pray for them. And so I pray for them instead of blasting them out and decking them. That's just how you do. This week I went to the Four Seasons Town Center. You've been there? I walked in. As I'm walking there, all of a sudden my nose picks up something. I don't know if you've done this, but I knew exactly what it was. You ever been to Cinnabon? You know, and all of a sudden, there's this smell. Now, quite frankly, I have money in my pocket. I have the liberty to go buy one of those things. I know how they taste. They really taste good. They taste as good as they smell. I used to have to go get them from my dad. And I'd go pick them up from my dad. And I have to, you know, I mean, this smell is just great. Temptation? I could do it. But can I just tell you? It wasn't temptation. You know why it wasn't temptation? You know why it wasn't a temptation? Because I've died to those foods. And it's not a temptation. Other people can eat them. They're sitting right in front of me. It doesn't bother me a bit. I've died to them. I can always go back into them. Do you understand that? But I've died to them. I've chosen to reckon dead to them. And so I just don't do them. I wouldn't do them any more than I'd take a hammer and put my hand on the cement and smash my hand with a hammer. That's how much of not a temptation those things are. Why? Because I'm dead to those things. They'll only make me feel terrible if I eat them. I've chosen not to have them. And I walk or live a different way now that is much, much, much better. The Scriptures tell us not to walk in the flesh. The way to do that is to walk the walk of death to self-desires apart from God. The way to do that is not to make provision for the flesh. The way to do that is to walk in the Spirit and operate in His power. And I just tell you, if we don't have time to read the rest of the passage, read the rest of the passage, one of the things it says that you do when you're not doing that is you develop this whole set of fruit that comes out of you, the fruit of the Spirit. And guess who gets to pick the fruit of the Spirit? Not for you. Fruit doesn't eat itself. Fruit's for other people. And so the big key in this also is you serve others. That gets you out of the self mode. You serve others. You go get involved in helping others and being involved with them in the areas where they need the help. So that's how we deal with the flesh. It's a real choice and we have to deal with it. We have to battle the world. And when you battle the world, you have a choice. You can walk according to the kingdoms of this world, or you can walk according, by faith, the kingdom of heaven. You have a choice. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So you make a choice. Do I walk by the world's standards, or do I walk by the kingdom of heaven's standards? With the flesh, again, you have a choice. Do you walk according to the fleshly impulses, or do you walk according to the Spirit of God? Your choice, as it is for all of us. Well, the Scripture says we can defeat the flesh by walking in the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Make sense? Now we just got to do it. All right. One more element of spiritual warfare, and that's Satan, and we'll deal with him on another day. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you help us learn how to not walk in the flesh, but instead walk in the Spirit. And I pray for everybody here today that you'd help them as you help me also to go against our selfish, fleshly desires and instead to walk obediently your way. Because we know you only want the best for us. You want life to be full for us. and Satan wants to destroy us. We thank you, Lord, we do not have to succumb to the works of the flesh. We instead can walk with you and be in you because you are in us. By your grace, empower us that we might walk differently. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.